name. Praise the Lord Jesus. I really thank tonight for love and his mercies. I thank him for his peace, his joy. I thank him for everything that surrounds my life. But more than all, I thank him for salvation, something I didn't deserve, but yet it was given unto me. And I really appreciate the goodness of God. I greet my pastor tonight, greet his family, greet all the saints of God from near and far, those who log in from near and far, those of our friends from time to time who log in to listen to the word of God. I want you to realize that you are our honored guest, and we are very, very thankful to have you online with this ministry. Thank God for you all. God bless you, saints of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I would like you to open your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And we'll read also verse 15 to 25. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And we'll go down to verse 15 and to verse 25. Praise the Lord. I'll read in your hearing from the King James Version. Praise the Lord Jesus. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 15 to the end, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his rib, and close up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is no bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. We must understand all creation was set up, and God, being a sovereign God, made man, made this garden, and everything was looking fine. He made man out of his own image, out of the dust of the earth, and we are very comfortable as we read these hearers of the Bible. We understand the goodness of God towards human. But there was a command given to man. And so when God gave the command and made everything looking good, he said it was not good for man to be alone. So he put man into a deep sleep and take a rib from man and made woman and says, this is your helpmeet. And Adam looked and said, this bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. And that is all fine. But the commandment was there that there's a garden in the midst of Eden. There is a tree, in the midst of Eden. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then he says, you people should not eat thereof, because the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And that was all good, clear. It's a command. They should not disobey God, because God is the one who made them, place them there. And so I would like to read to you again, Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6. And it says thus, now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, we shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, we could browse a little further down, but just want to get at some points here tonight as I introduce a topic to you. We got to get back to the glory. Praise the Lord. The topic tonight, we got to get back or go back to the glory. What is the glory? Many people worship. Many people have their different ideas and brainstorm it to the point. But what is the glory? Well, I was doing a little reading. It says, great praise and honor. It says brightness, beauty, splendor. Another writer says beauty, power, or honor, which is a quality of God's character, is greatness and authority, praise. Another writer said boast, honor, majesty, praise. All these are the character of God. And so when you look at the whole issue of humanity being made or coming down from Adam's race into this world, we understand very well that there was a command that man has broken. what we understand is that man fall from grace. Man fall from the glory of God. Man step out of the will of God. Man step out of the glory of God. If you were to look at it closely, there was a fellowship with God in Eden. There was a fellowship with God in the commencement of man's life. And that fellowship was great. As God in his glory would come down and reason with man, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. So there was a good fellowship with man and God. Man could relate to his God properly. Man was happy to see and to understand that their creator was with them and would come down and just reason with them. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we see that there was a fellowship. But the day the woman was deceived by this old serpent, then that kind of fellowship, that glory, that splendor, that great authority that God have between man and himself has been broken. Praise God. It was distasteable in the taste of God, because here God used to come down and fellowship and reason with humanity, but man disobeyed God and step out of that glorious realm where God is. And so God have to drive man out of the garden of Eden and place angels there with flaming sword. Because what is one part of the scripture says, if God had allowed man to go back to touch the tree of life, because of their high hope, man, they understood what eternity was about. They would live forever. So God have to shift them out of that glorious realm. And so man was kind of on his own now, because that fellowship with God wasn't there anymore. Praise the Lord Jesus. When man leave from the covering of the eternal God, they will have to see covering everywhere or elsewhere. Bible says that when they realize that they were naked because of what they did, then they begin to pick fig leaf and to sew it together to cover themselves. It is thus that when people find themselves in certain predicament in life, they seek ways and means of covering up what they have done. Praise the Lord Jesus. A lot of people, when they find themselves in certain eras of life, they will do anything as a cushion to take and cover them from what they are into. Praise the Lord Jesus. Man messed up. Man slipped out of the glory. Man now failed to honor God because of the life that they live and the things that they have done. It doesn't give honor, glory, and splendor to God anymore. Man failed God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Men fail God. They seek fulfillment everywhere now to get back to that empty desire that they have. How many people know that when you are not in the realm of God, you are empty? When you are not with God, when you're not worshiping God, when you are not giving him the praise and the honor that due unto his name, you become as empty shell. And so for us to get back to that glory that we have been taken out of, are deceived out of, we have to find back our rightful place with God. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that men seek everywhere to fulfill that void in their life. And it's certain that we will never come up with any fulfillment for our lives until we find Jesus. Bible says that Solomon searched and go in every year of life to see what was satisfying for the soul. But he come up with all his vanity and vexation of spirit. And if we were honest, there's nothing in this life that can satisfy a man's desire. You could marry all the ladies you want. You could get all the jobs you want. You could get all the money you want. You could get all the education that you need and the properties, own all of them. But that will never fulfill the void that is in a human's life until you find Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, when man shifts out of the will of God, then the Bible teaches that God, in his wisdom and mercy, still going after humanity to present them back to him. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so, when you look at life, the Bible says man was so empty that he looked in every area of life to get back that joy, that glory, that splendor within himself to relate to God, but he couldn't find it. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so one example of such is that people will do anything to pull back the hand of God to them. I was just reading in 1 Samuel 4 and verse 1 down the line, the principle concerning Israel. When Eli's sons were with him, and these young men were desecrating the temple and doing all kind of rubbish, and when there was that war between the Philistine and Israel, praise the Lord Jesus, when they find out that they were losing the war, what they did, they go into the temple of God and they desire to pull out the Ark of the Covenant, which is the very presence of God, and bring it out to the battlefield, not praying, not seeking the direction of God. They just believe that, listen, we have the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, and if we bring it out, it is so powerful that it will give us that victory that we are so needed of against the Philistines. When the Ark of the Covenant reach out on the battlefield, the holy thing that shouldn't be out there without the direction of God, Bible says that the Philistines hear the joy and the noise of the Israelites, and they were just crumbling and shaking in their boots. But somebody along the Philistine line says, listen, we're going to die today anyway. So you know what? We're going to go up against Israel. And certainly they went up against Israel. And Israel was defeated, although they have the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God with them. In other words, there's a principle. You can't just jump on God and do what you think is you're doing without his knowledge or his direction. And so they lost the battle. Hophni and Phinehas died. When their daddy Eli realized that this happened, when the messenger come and tell him what went on, he himself dropped back way off his balcony and died. Now, what I'm saying is, there is a principle that God orchestrated when we desire to feel or be in his presence. It's not by our power, not by our might, but by the Spirit of God. We want to let people know that there's a principle to get back to the glory of God. It's not by your own might. Bible says that nobody will ever come to God unless the Spirit draws them. And you have to be drawn by the Spirit. You have to humble yourself and come to the knowledge that you need to get into the glory of God and allow him to pull you in. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. We got to get back to the glory. Human, in his own folly, step out of the wisdom and the glory of God. And so to get back there, you have to go by the direction of God. Men mess up. And so they try to find other means to cover up their ignorance. Praise the Lord Jesus. The glory was taken away from Israel that day. And so the Ark of the Covenant, that holy thing, instead of being with God's people, it was with the enemy. But there comes a time when they understood themselves and was able to cry in the presence of God, when God released back the glory to them. Praise the Lord Jesus. Bible says when the glory of God was coming back, even the King David didn't want to have that holy thing in his house. So he sent it to another person's home for safekeeping. That man was blessed for many years. Everything in his house was blessed. And David realized that, listen, we cannot allow the glory to stay out here. So it came back into David's property. Praise the Lord Jesus. What I'm saying here, the glory, we got to get back to it. The glory got to find its way back to where it belongs. Find back the glory. Not an instant of the rebuilding of the temple. I always read and try to look at for years how when Solomon's temple was destroyed and it was rebuilding, my God, the Bible says when the temple was rebuilt and the young men were happy about the rebuilding of the temple and were joyous and happy, you know, full of laughter and giggling all over the place. They feel good because it was being rebuilt. But something about the glory, that the Bible says the elderly men, when they stay aside and see that the glory has nothing to compare to the glory that was, the Bible says, while the young men were laughing and enjoying themselves, the old men were crying. We need some men today, some women of God, who will look at the glory and pray that the glory will come back to the people's life, that there will be a life-changing experience for the people of God. Everyone needs to have that glory back into their lives. Church today is not church as it used to be. I remember years ago, Holy Ghost run church. It's not men on their attitude and men on their lavish lifestyle. It was a simple move of God used to run church. Praise the Lord Jesus. Everybody want the altar today. Everybody want a mic to say what they think they know and do. But who have the glory? Who is manifesting the glory? Praise the Lord Jesus. The men of old at Solomon's time, they says, does anybody know when the church was in its first glory? That's what the old men ask. Do you remember when the church was in its first glory? Oh, there was a shouting. Oh, there was a splendor. Oh, people used to honor God. Oh, the power of God used to work in the church. Oh, there was the authority of God in the church. Oh, the healing mercy of God was in the church among the people of God. Do you remember? But many of us are like the young men today, just giggling because, you know what? I have nice dress, I have nice shoes, and I have nice suit. When you look at me, you can't see church. But guess what? God help those who are calling sin righteousness and righteousness sin. You got to have the glory, brothers and sisters. And I'm speaking to those who are online who are maybe not saved. You got to get back to that place. You got to find God. And the way to find God is when Peter said unto the people under the Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost permeates your body and reside in your spirit, then the glory of God, as long as you live right and talk right and walk right, then the glory will show up in your life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Even some of our saints don't watch people dress, don't watch people gifts, don't watch people how they talk, because there is no glory in it. People only have a vague idea of what Christ is. If you look around, you will see the ignorant move of many people. They don't even know the principles of the church, that there are some things you just cannot do. There are some directions you cannot take without your pastor being informed, your bishop being informed. It might look simple, but if you bypass your pastor and your bishop to do anything in certain areas, then your prayers don't even pray until you repent. We missed the glory. We miss who we are to be. And even though Christ gave his life and come to earth to receive us, some of us are still playing with the glory. Do you remember the first glory? When you receive it, how it was in your life? Do you remember the day when you go down into that pool? Oh, energetic you were to receive Christ. Oh, it was a pleasure to know that your life will be buried with Christ and you will rise to walk in the newness of life. Have you been walking still in the newness of life? Are you corrupting the glory and pushing it aside for the things of this life? Do you remember the first glory you received and how it was before? And how you compare to be now? Do you have any of the glory still dwelling in you? And as I look back at life, you know, I'm a guy who observes things. And so many people read because they have good educational ability. And that is very good. I'm not beating you on the educational ability to read. But do you live what you read? Do you walk what you read? Do you talk what you read? And if you are not, you miss the glory, because the glory is not in education. It's not in just reading, it's living. So many times we shift the glory by the way we live and demonstrate life. We miss the glory. We don't live a life to reflect the glory. You should be able to tell a man who has the glory blossoming in his life, a man who is giving God the glory, the honor, the praise, a man who is living in the splendor of God. One time I was reading a book, he says so much people have just enough Christianity to make them miserable. Guys, only a miserable person, if you don't call them on the phone, will get upset and not coming back to church. It's only a miserable person who don't know God. If I pass you on the street and didn't see you, will get so upset that you want to leave the church. It's only a miserable person who don't know God. When you tell them the truth, them vex, and they will go aside and, you know, just blow off a steam. Miserable. Just enough salvation to make them miserable. We want people who have the glory. Who, although you didn't say hi to me, but I am still in the glory of God. Somebody who you don't have to call my name in the church, but I have the glory. There are some people with the glory of God. You cannot disturb them. And I find out the other day, and I even get the dream. Was sleeping, and yet a voice speak to me from heaven saying, they want to get you out of here because of your gift. That's what the voice said to me. They want to get you out of here because of your gift. Man, you are worshiping God, giving God the glory, and people want to take you out. They only have enough salvation to make them miserable. And because they are miserable, being directed by evil forces, that's why they want to destroy you. How could a man be going to heaven and have the glory and don't want to see me go to heaven too with my glory? It's kind of rough right here, but that's how it is. That's the word of God. We got to get back to the glory. Yeah. We got to get back to the glory. What am I saying here? Look at Exodus 33 and verse 12 to 23. Exodus 33, 12 to 33. One day, I read from the NLT at this time. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land. But you haven't told me who you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorable on me, let me know your ways." That is what Moses said to God. "So I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy the favor and remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses says, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. If you know you're not coming with us, God, let us stay here. Let us relax. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people of the earth." You listen to it. "The Lord replied to Moses, 'I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name.' Moses responded, 'Then show me your presence, or show me your glory.' The Lord replied, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you, for I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live.' The Lord continued, 'Look, stand near me on this rock as my glorious presence passed by. I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind. But my face will not be seen. I want to share just a little thought here. Moses have had numerous experiences of who God really is. Moses have had numerous experiences of the eternal presence of God. Moses hear the voice of God. Moses can relate to God to say, listen, I hear the voice of God saying, go here, or do this, or do that. Moses identified that. But as a man, Moses still have an emptiness to know who God really is. Moses have an emptiness of wanting to get more into the glory of God. Now, if I ever go on a mountain and see such miraculous move of God, I probably come down and say, yes, I'm satisfied with what I see. But this man says, no, God, I want to do an identification, something more about you that I need to know. If you're a child of God and living in this life today, friends, and you don't want more of God, you don't understand the glory of God because you cannot get too much of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You cannot get too much of God because you're living in this life. Every day is a crazy different happenings and you want more grace to step over some boundaries that will ever come. In this life, your sister testified that some things coming down the pipe, you don't know what is coming down the pipe. You need more grace to make it in. And so Moses said, God, show me your glory. Show me something more about you I can hold on to. Brethren, the Bible says, God says, listen, I will do everything for you. I will go with you and everything you ask me for, I will do it for you because I know your name. And, you know, it is true that you look favorable on me, Moses said, but I just feel I want to see something more. God said, you cannot see my face. I'll give you everything. I'll show you anything else, but you can't see my face because no man has ever seen my face and lived. And Moses' desire, listen, probably Moses said, I don't care if I die after I see your face, but I just want to see your glory. God says, I'm going to set you upon this rock, and I'm going to set you in the crevice of this rock, and I'm going to pass by you. But God used his hand to cover his face that he cannot see, and God passed by him. And when God moved, and the back part of God, God just released his hands so that Moses could see something that was a little satisfying to his soul. It was the glory of God. Does anybody who have not known and experienced God who want to feel his glory? Mighty God, thank you, Jesus. Do you want to see and feel some more of God like Moses did? Praise the Lord Jesus. Bless the Lord Jesus. Is there anybody who have this yearning desire that God, the life I am living is in turmoil? I'm seeing things, my God, and I don't want to be identified with it. So show me your glory that I can step out of this corruption. Glory. And find myself identifying with you. That glory that we share in Eden, that man step away from. God, can you call my name and come into my garden and let me see something more than have been seen my life? I understand when you read certain Remin, God, the devil have a way of coming in and upsetting your spirit. So crossing your wire that you cannot relate to God the way you want to. But somebody have to step out and say, I got to get back to the glory. I just got to. If you have to step away from your children to find the glory, if you have to step away from your wife, from your husband, and some relatives that is unbugging you, or when I said unbugging, is crossing your wire that the glory of God cannot be seen, you need to make a decision to step so that the glory of God can be seen. Is there one tonight who would just make that step from sin to grace, walk out on somebody who's messing up your life and says, God, for you I live and for you I die. I'm tired of living away from your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Scripture says Moses felt that he needs to see more. And that's the desire of every children of God's heart, desire to be more closer to God, especially in these rough and trying days. We don't live a life to reflect the glory. And this is why some people are just miserable. Some people are just out of order. Some people are sickly and weak among us, and many sleep because, guess what? They are not seeing the glory of the eternal God. But we got to get back to the glory. Moses, yes, God, I want to see the glory of God in my life. Moses, I know your name. I know your voice. I'm with you. And I will do whatever you ask me, whatever you please. But Moses said, yes, God, very good words. And I'm feeling comfortable with what you say. But I need more. I need to see more of your glory. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Psalm 29, verse 1 to 11. Let's read. Bless God. Psalm 29, verse 1. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to see your glory. I want to see something more that will satisfy my soul. I want to see something more that generates some more praise and generates some more honor that goes to your name. Psalm 21 and verse 29 and verse 1 says, honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. That's the glory. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord, honor the Lord, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord thundereth over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Glorious, majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedar. The Lord shattereth the cedar of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon mountains skip like a calf. That's how powerful and glorious and majestic my God is. He makes Mount Haran leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The Lord, the voice of the Lord make the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shake the wilderness of Kedesh. The voice of the Lord twist mighty oaks and strip the forest bare. Him to the forest of what is there. Mighty God, in his temple, everyone shout what? Glory. Psalmist says, in his temple, in his house, in his courts, everyone showed glory. The Lord rules over the floods, waters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord bless them with peace. What a powerful God. What a mighty God. What a sovereign God. When you find yourself in the realm of his glory, what a God. The Lord blesses his people with peace. If you're a child of God, you've got to live a peaceful life. How come some of us live somewhat warsome experience? Every day is war. We must be singing Bob Marley's song, every day is war. Praise the Lord Jesus. If you are a child of God, it must be everyday peace, harmony, living in the splendor of God. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. Mighty God, what a God we serve. Psalms 8, the division of Psalm 8, mighty God, let us see what it says. Holy Ghost on fire tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Our Lord. Oh, majestic name fill the earth. Your majestic name fill the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. Come on. Lift up God because his glory is higher than the heavens. Some people say they lift their hand off when worshiping God. Some people don't even want to lift their hands. But his glory is high above the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength. Even the children tell of the strength of the Lord. And our people who are saved and sanctified put the glory aside and begin to murmur. Mighty God, silencing your enemy and all who oppose you. That's what the children do. Tell of God's strength. When I look at the night skies and see the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere morals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God, and crown them with glory and honor. Come on. You know something? Here is God crowning us, a people, when you begin to live in the glory realm with glory and honor. You know that we are honorable people as we walk into society, but we don't know. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds and the skies, the fish and the sea, and everything that swims the ocean current. Oh Lord, home, your majestic name fills the earth. Come on, tell somebody your God's majestic name fills the earth, and that name is Jesus. We don't live a life to reflect the glory, and that is very sad. That is very sad. 1 Corinthians 6, mighty God. My God, 1 Corinthians 6, let's see what it says here. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 to 20. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 to 20 says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I want you to look into this, because when you are joined to God, you are one spirit with him. That means the glory of God is in you. Don't tell yourself that you are not a part of God's will. When the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, run from sexual sin. That's a command. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your body, your own body. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you realize that your body is where the glory dwells? One scripture says, God will not dwell no more in temple made with hands, but a body has to prepare me. No, the body is a temple of the living God, temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God brought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Oh my God, that's where the glory is. God himself placed himself in you as a human, and that's where his glory resides. Live right, do right, operate right, so that your life can reflect the glory of God. Those of you who are not saved, you need to get to this glory. Find yourself in the church. Live for God. Worship God. Serve God. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says something here. Mighty God. It says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. That's the word of God. That's not my word. So some people live in some kind of lifestyle as Christians who mess up with the glory of God and live in any and anyhow. All God is saying, stop it. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. Sexual immoralities, envies, hate, grudge, greed, all these things, drop them and let God reign in your temple. He says, for God's temple is holy. Ah, God Almighty, and you are that temple. My God, how can I find myself back, Brother Brown, to the glory? It is as simple as that. Question that was asked on the day of Pentecost. Question was asked, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? How can we get back this glory? Because you see, Peter was showing them that this same Jesus that came to her, that you crucified, it is God in flesh, come to rescue us, to bring us back to that glorious place in him. And so, if you stay around here and hearing the word and not willing to obey his will, then it says you are in problem. But if you want to find your way back to the glory, you got to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, live a perfect and a peaceful life before him, and you will receive up into glory just like he did. But Brother Brown, it's hard. I was baptized already. Yes, if you didn't do it right, you got to do it right. It's in Jesus' name that it must be accomplished. Praise the Lord Jesus. You remember when the glory came to you that day? Do you remember as I close? Do you remember that day when you say, God, if you will fill me, I will be baptized in your name. Do you remember that day when you said to yourself, you know what? I have found the truth and I'm going to do exactly what God says. Do you remember that day when you got on the pool, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you remember those glorious moments where you couldn't even eat food for the day because you were on a high note? Do you remember that day when you stand in the presence of God and make the commitment that you will serve him to the bitter end? Mighty God, mighty God. When you used to live in love, when you used to have mercy on people, when you used to live in faith and honesty, when you used to live in humbleness, do you remember those days? When you were so humble and dainty? Do you remember when you used to live a repentant life? When the richness of his grace was your place of worship? Do you remember when you used to have a lot of respect for people? Do you remember when you used to honor people? Do you still see the glory? Do you still see the glory? Mighty God, do you still feel the glory? Prodigal son walk out on his daddy that day, and when he look at himself, he says, no, I'm going to enjoy life. But when hard time reached him and everything was done and everything was spent out, and he look at himself and see himself empty, and he remember those glory days when he could eat and drink what he wants. Bible says, the man came to himself and said, you know what? I'm going to pull off this shame and this hurt and this pain. And I'm going to get myself together and go back to my father. And says, Daddy, you know what? I have sinned. I have sinned, Dad. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servant, Dad. Let me tell you something. That's how God is saying. Those of you who might be contrary and mess up the glory, God is saying, just come, just come, just come. I'll forgive you. And I'll bring you back to that place. Because we all need to get back to the place where we find Jesus, where those glory days were. When we used to sing and praise God in happiness and laughter, when the glory was overshadowing us, when it caused the Spirit to manifest in our lives, we got to get back to the glory. The Bible says when he reaches his home, his daddy saw him afar off and says, son, come in. Kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, put clothes on him, clean him up, and get him back to the glory. Jeremiah 4:1-4, which will be our last scripture tonight, and I'm done in the name of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 4:1-4, it says, O Israel, says the Lord, if you wanted to return to me, you could. I want that to settle in somebody's spirit tonight. If you want to get back to me or to return back to me, then he said you could. You could throw away the detestable idols and stray away no more. Then when you swear by my name, saying as surely as the Lord lives, you could do so. With truth, justice, and righteousness, then you would be a blessing to the nation of the world, and all people would come and praise my name. This is what the Lord said to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Plow up the hard ground of your heart. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, surrender your pride and power. Change your heart before the Lord, or my hunger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of your sin. And I close on that note. Do not waste your seed among thorns, O people of Jerusalem. Surrender your pride. I remember the days I have to step aside from my pride and my foolishness and go down in the water grave of baptism and see God for myself, for my soul salvation. Surrender your pride and your power. Some people have too much pride and too much power, and I'm sorry to say that, but I have to say it's the word of God. Some people have too much power and too much pride not to surrender. But if you want the glory, my friend, you got to surrender. We want to get back to the place where God's amazing grace came to us that day. Where we were, it was laughter and fun to be in the house of God. It was a praise and a glory that is so rich that it caused sinners to bow and repent before God. It was a glory that was so majestic that when you called for healing, it was imminent. Healing was on the floor. It was a glory that overshadowed the sinner, that it rips off their clothes and their pride and bring them into shame before God. It was a glory that when you sin, you have to come to the altar and say, God, I have sinned against heaven and before you. It was a glory that was so rich and sweet and powerful that it caused you to walk right, talk right, live right. It was a glory that humbles the people of God. But my friend, I'm asking tonight as I close, where is the glory? Don't miss out on this glory. We got to get back to the glory. We got to get back to the glory. And another time I close, we got to get back to the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.